Good morning.
I am so blessed. Are you blessed? I mean, really. What was that song we sang today? When the word, brother responded to it. Something about, you know, if we're saved, no matter what, if we're saved, no matter what we read in the paper, what's happening, we always have something to rejoice in. And, I, for one, am so very, very grateful for that. We're experimenting with you today. We're going to take you to his ranch, really, if I don't want you to get too relaxed, but the way I'm going to teach today is what we've done for years and years at his ranch. I had to lay the groundwork last week kind of strongly because, number one, you guys are, I'm proud of you and I'm proud of my son. I am so blessed. And you come here clearly because you want to hear the Word of God. And yet you probably have observed that I am very concerned that we don't take the Word of God for granted. I think it's easy to do that. And so, ergo, last week. Today, we're going to just, if you want to turn there, you can. It's pretty easy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. That's where we're starting today, when we get there. I have a couple of letters to share. I'm just going to share one. If you were here last week, you recall the letter I shared. And by the way, I'm always awkward about this. So let me preface, before I read this note, our mission verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And I'm very poor as a missionary in sharing some of the wonderful fruits that we see. I'm very poor at that. My board is on me all the time when we meet, and even some people are. Well, tell us what you're doing, what's happening. Because when I really get here, honored spot, that's why I'm dressed like this. I mean, I want to preach the word. But you are a supporting church. And you have a right to know about some of the victories that we're receiving. So if you can recall in your mind the letter last week, someone crying out, my life basically is a mess, help me. And by the way, there's one advantage, and you're going to see it this morning. You say, well, this is what goes on at his ranch. By the time people get to his ranch, okay, my reputation is going on probably. We need to go to his ranch. We need some help. We know what we're going to get. There's never any doubt that they, whatever has happened, a teachable spirit has taken place. You follow me there? And they say, we're ready for the word. And that's just wonderful to be in my position when someone, no matter how much of a mess they've made out of their life, has reached the point where, what does the Bible say? And what can I do? So last week, the letter was from someone who we're still working with, who really is what we call a wounded saint. And there is such a thing. I've been a wounded saint on all too many occasions. And we must not overlook the wounded. Now, I talked to you last week about Ralph, the black fella up in the Chicago area. I mean, there's a civil war going on, and there's all kinds of cultural things going on. And he may fall. I mean, you have no concept, most of us, of when you wake up in the ghetto every day and you love the Lord, your role models, even what you're hearing from behind the pulpit, you know, it totally flies. And so, if you are a child of God and are being raised in a godly home and you have a mom and or a dad or both, never take that for granted. A matter of fact, after the service today, and I wish my mom and dad were here to do this, give them a big hug. Give them a big hug. I said all that to say this. I hope he makes it. But if he falls, I still love him. I mean that. God does it all. And remember, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I'm going to read something here, and I wish people, when they would talk about what they have received, would not talk about me so much. But they do. You will find this interesting, though. We make a deliberate effort to break the strings. And so when someone says to me, how is so-and-so doing? I say, they must be doing pretty good. We haven't heard from them in a year. Okay? And that's the way. Now, that kind of hurts sometimes, but that's the way it should be. Anyway, I got this letter not too long ago. You may or may not have read it. I think I sent it here. But this was a family that was a mess, a Christian family. Everything you can imagine. Children running hither and yon and heartbreak. Even mom and dad weren't doing too good. And the husband wrote me this letter about the way they are faithfully attending a Bible-believing church now, and it's just a great thing. You are always on my mind when I think of the real truth of God's Word. I think of you when I think of a real church. We're not a church. And ministry. I think of you when I think, where would I be today without meeting you? I shudder. And by the way, it's S-H-U-T-T-E-R. It should be S-H-U-D-D-R. I shudder and think I would have never made it this far in my walk with the Lord. I love you both for eternity. But I love the way he ended it, because where would I be in my walk with the Lord? It is a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to know your sins are forgiven. However, it's a wonderful thing to know that you're striving to live that life that pleases the Lord. And so when you pray for us, when you support us, this is what you're working with. Now, they're not all saved. You may recall last week, I mentioned a young lady. I mentioned her name. I probably should not have, because I may be bringing her here someday. But a young woman from Arcadia who does not know the Lord. Her marriage, everything about her is so sad. She came out last week. And, it's one thing to try to help somebody in their quote-unquote communication and all these other things, finances, but I can't let it go with that if they don't know the Lord. You follow me there? And we finally were able to bring the gospel to her. And she was very, very taken by that. And she'll be coming to see us this Thursday. So if you would like, you pray for this young woman. Definitely a Arcadian. For those of you who know anything about a true Arcadian, that's what she is. Here's some of the things that she's struggling with. And by the way, I guess this is a hug mom and dad day. She has a dad who lives in Oklahoma and a mom who lives in Texas. She hasn't seen them in years. Last time she talked to her dad trying to stir up a relationship, he said, well, let me tell you something. You were an accident. We never wanted you. I can't identify with that. You know what I mean? And you young adults who are living with Christian father and mother, they're not perfect. I sure wasn't. But I tell you what, I never ever had a doubt that I was wanted. And I'm asking us all to be compassionate. We are living. By the way, based on the news this past week, and I don't see it getting any brighter, I try to underscore the importance of being in the Word of God, because this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. And if you don't see that, I don't know what in the world I can do. But the issue is, with all the concerns about what's going wrong in the world, remember, for the child of God, at the root, it must be spiritual. When we do the other, and there's much to be done. It must always be done in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. It is all about Him. We're going to be talking about that today. Oh my. We lived on the boat for 6 years. I wish Dan had been around to kind of mentor me a little bit. It's the grace of God, Dan, that I'm standing here today. We've been out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico with a 26-foot sailboat that you couldn't stand up, in between the troughs where when you look up, all you can see is water. Never should have been out there in that kind of sea. More about that later, perhaps. But we did have some wonderful times, and one of the times, and this is what we're going to be doing this morning in the Word, we used to do a lot of beach combing. Anybody here ever do beach combing? You know what it, you know? Nobody knows what it is. Walk along the beach, nothing on your mind, seeing what you can find. I never did find, by the way, the treasure chest of gold. I never did. I did find a $100 bill one time on Bunnis Beach. I didn't look too hard to find out who lost it. So I never found him. But here's what we used to do. We would walk on the beach, and we would find shells. You know, you walk along, you find shells. We found shark's teeth. Coins. We used to find polished glass. Glass that would fall in the water, then in the waves would go back and forth, and it would, like a little piece of an old beer bottle or something about this size. It would be beautiful having, been beat up in the surf. Just a wonderful thing. And, you never knew what you would find. I explained to you last week that the days of me teaching word by word through a book in the Bible have passed, not me by, have pretty much passed the church by for a variety of reasons. And so when people come to his ranch, I can't spend 2 days on the backdrop of Hebrews. Because I might only have them for 2 days. So what we do is we go through a walk. We will sit down and we walk through the Word. And then as things jump out, you follow me there? We gather them up. We gather them up and we apply them to our lives. We're going to find some interesting things today as we start out in Matthew. And these things that we gather, and we gathered this morning as we walk through the Word, have eternal value. Interestingly, all the stuff that we've gathered on the beaches, we had jars full of shark's teeth. I had one shark's tooth as big as my fist that I found. I don't know hardly any of them are anymore. You know, they're packed away. I gave them away. It doesn't really matter. We had a jar full of this polished glass pieces. They're just beautiful. I have no clue where that is. Because you know what? They're earthly. But when we gather jewels from the Word of God, these have eternal value. And these are things that we keep and will last for eternity. Before we start this morning, and we're going to walk through the Word together. But before we start, I'm going to ask Dan, would you open in prayer, please? Ask God to pour out His Spirit on us this morning, please. Thank you. Amen. Now, without apology, clearly we're going to miss a lot, but we're going to find some jewels. We're going to find some jewels as we travel through, starting at the beginning, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I'd ask you to turn there, please. And I don't know how far we're going to get, but as the same last week, remember we will be stopping at 11 o'clock, starting up at 11:20, and we will be done at 12 o'clock today, clearly. For those of you who plan to stay for both sessions, remembering now what this is, we've had sort of a seminar. It's a light for living. A light for living. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That means, you know, right here and now. And it's a light unto my path. The word of God was intended not simply to be taken in as gathering in intellectual or even theological data. It was intended, it's living, to be breathed in and then exhaled in the way that we live out our lives for the glory of God. Now, as we look at Matthew chapter 1 and we start along, I want to read just verse 1. I see I have something here. And by the way, it's a lot that's going to be interesting to me. I can't wait to get to verse 3 when we talk about King Herod and government. However, if we get there this session, if we don't, we'll get to it the next session. But notice verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes on with the genealogy. Let me give you an illustration of how we need to rekindle our excitement regarding the Word of God. I'll show you something. This is a book I got at I thought it was a yard sale, but actually it was an estate sale. And that's when they have pros come in and whatever. And so we went to that about, I think, 6 months ago or so. And mainly I jump in on the books. I mean, that's pretty much it. And they had hardbound and paperbacks. And I pulled this one out. The Campfires of General Lee. Listen to this. This was from the Atala Library Association, organized by the Women's Christian Temperance Union, February 1890. It was published in 1886, 11 years after the close of the Civil War. It was published then. So, I mean, this is quite a remarkable book. So I go up to the guy who's running the whole operation. I say, I got a book here. How much is it? He said, 50 cents for the paperbacks and a buck for the hardbacks. I said, okay, thank you very much. And I got it. What a treasure. He's one of my heroes. And to read about this Christian man, you can imagine my excitement. Then, coming here this morning, Andrew Jackson. His portrait was done by and given to me by Judy Jackson. I guarantee you, this will have a very, very prominent place in our home. Thank you. But here's the interesting thing. I'm interested in people. I'm interested in learning more about, and by the way, for those of you who don't know me, Booker T. Washington is my hero as well. Okay, so just don't get any funny ideas. But you know what? I've got a book in my hands, and it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Jesus Christ. I've got a book here. It tells me all about the Son of God. All about Emmanuel. All about God. Tell you what, that book's in the background. This book is in the foreground. The whole Word of God, ultimately, is to lead us to faith in Christ and cause us to understand the wonder of knowing Christ and to enjoy Him now and forever, to make decisions based on what's best for Him. Is it not to be thought natural that we should be excited about learning about Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so as we come through these doors this morning, I hope that you know Him. I hope and pray that you have repented. That's a good word. It simply means change your mind. Some of you come here and maybe think, you know, coming to a Bible-believing church, isn't that great? That's good. But it does not make you a Christian. You need to change your mind about that. Many of us, and even as Christians, we have to be careful here. Well, we begin comparing ourselves to the world. Whoa, there are a lot of sinners out there. And you change your mind. I'm a sinner. And if you have never seen yourself as a sinner, then the physician will not come your way. You need to see yourself as lost. I hope you have come to faith in Christ, and if you have not, I pray that you will before this day is over. You'll learn about the Lord. You'll learn about Christ in this book. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, let's just exhaust this a little bit. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to always keep there. We're not going to travel too much, but go to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. I don't know about you, but the time constantly flies, so I'll leave out a lot. But John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures. Search them. For in them ye think, you know, as you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, the danger that any of us face as a Bible teacher is to become so caught up in our teaching that we lose sight of the fact that it is about Christ. There's not any, you can think of any specialty, homeschooling, creationism, working with children, any particular ministry that we have ultimately must engage people to think and contemplate Christ. He was the Creator. He's the Savior. He's our coming King. He's the reason I'm here to honor and glorify Him. And by the way, that doesn't change. Cultures change. Duh. We know that. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our responsibilities remain constant. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we have, and I'm going to talk about that later, each one of us here are unique, and we have a little different thrust here and a little different emphasis here, and that's fine, and we should have that. But nothing that we do, no matter how good it might be, should ever be done without ultimately considering what does the Word of God say? How does this impact the movement of Jesus Christ and the glory of Christ? It's pretty simple. But anyway, get back here, the generation of Jesus Christ, and we find there that, you know, search the Scriptures because the Bible is about Him. It's about Him. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 2:2. I love this. I can just see Paul saying this. 1 Corinthians 2:2. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Remember what I said last week? Oh, I was fired up. I said, I didn't come here to make you glad. But I didn't come here to make you sad either. Preach the Word. Whether you're sad or whether you're glad has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with your walk with the Lord and your submission to the Lord. But notice here, Paul said, and by the way, Corinth, I mean, we won't take the time. But I mean, a sinful metropolis. There is every form of spiritual apostasy going on. Government, we don't even go there. Division, discord, carnality. Probably a good devotional would have been strong for the people there. He brought them the Word of God, and then he said this, and amidst all the confusion of that church. Verse 2. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does he mean by that? I don't think he means that he didn't get engaged in all the... He did. Church discipline. Later on we find out as things went along that he demanded certain rights before the corrupt Roman government. He got engaged in this, that, but in it all, this is the challenge to all of us today. In it all, he was determined that Jesus Christ would be the centerpiece of who he is and where he stood. I am determined. Now, I guarantee you, you have to have that same kind of determination today. Be determined to keep him first. Going back. Now I want to get to verse 20. Verse 20. Jumping way ahead. You all are familiar with the story here. Joseph finds out that his wife, to whom he was engaged, engagement back then was synonymous, verse 20 now, to, you know, is just as sacred as the marriage vows itself. And he finds out that Mary is expecting, he's expecting child. Verse 10, or 19, then Joseph, when he heard this news, being a just man, and a man not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, has the idea of pondering, while he pondered on these things. We're going to look up several verses here, but this is important. Do you realize the options that he had? First of all, he could have had a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, this is a tough situation. Mary's expecting. And they haven't even walked down the aisle yet. How many of us would have then sat back and see, no? I wonder what he thought. I have an idea, knowing how he went along later, that he was trying, he did not put the blackest face on that situation. I have an idea. He was trying to think and ponder what he was to do and what's going on. Here's my point. Be careful. We live in a generation in which everyone, especially, I know, this dates me, but on the social media particularly, has knee-jerk reactions and says things that can never be taken back. Boom, just like that. And even a Hollywood elite who have very little going for them anyway as far as pondering anything, but even some of them have had to backtrack on things they've said on the social media. Others have as well. Let's take this for a lesson. Remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Most of us need to do a lot more thinking before we speak. Be careful. And I'm talking to myself. Rarely, I'm like Peter in that regards. Rarely do I get in trouble for what I don't do. Rarely do I get in trouble for what I don't say. If I'm going to get in trouble, it's for what I'm doing and what I'm saying. And I know that. And that's a good thing. But if I was more like this godly man, because I'll tell you what, I can think of a lot of options that he might have done at that point rather than just thinking. He could have said a lot that would have tarnished Mary. Who knows what would have had on the whole story from that point forward. But he pondered and he thought. And so my light for living for you today, and again, place yourself in the living room of his ranch. I'm there in my native costume of jeans and t-shirt, maybe shoes. And you've got someone there who wants to really, really start living for the Lord. They need to receive principles that they can apply and that they can live out. And certainly, in the generation in which we live, more of us need to be exactly like Joseph. And no matter what comes along, hold it. There was a Roman emperor. I forget which one it was. I'm sorry. But this is true. You know, they all had a court jester. What a precarious job that was. But they had, it was really, but the court jester had tremendous amount of power. He is the only one in the whole court that could say anything to the Caesar that he wanted to. Usually to lighten him up, you know, hey, lighten up, Nero, a little bit. But there was one, Caesar, and I'm sorry his name slips my mind, one emperor, who was prone to just run off at the mouth in anger and not thinking, not pondering. And so the court jester came to him, called him aside one day, and he said, Emperor, when you get upset before you open your big mouth, recite the alphabet backwards first. Pretty good advice. I probably would have had less sin in my life had I done something like that. So I hope this is something that when you leave today, you know, this sounds like, well, yeah, this is like standing on a street corner, passing on a tract, or all the other things, or preaching, but this is these bits and pieces of, dare I say, holiness is what the whole Christian experience should be about. Put them in their proper place. And so, the next time this week something comes along and you want to say something to your wife or your husband or one of your children or people in high office, think. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Luke 2, 19, please. Very important point. What a team Joseph and Mary were. I bet they had a great marriage. I know they did. Because of what I read here. You read now here in Luke 2:19 that Mary, of course, heard all about these things and was told to her that, of course, she was expecting the child and all the rest and all these things that were going on with child by the Holy Ghost and all that goes with that and all the, you know, it's mystifying. I can't imagine. It's hard. Can you wrap your mind around what must have been going through the mind of Mary here? So much that she didn't understand. So much she couldn't quite comprehend. But notice these wonderful words in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Boy, there's a team. Up to this point, my favorite team in the Bible has been Aquila and Priscilla. The day and age in which we live, let me keep, so I don't get in trouble. Sometimes it says Priscilla and Aquila. Okay. So whether you put the tea cup first or the mug first, it doesn't really matter to me. But the point is, they were on the same page. Can you, I'm going to challenge you as husbands now. This is a very, and fathers, this truth that I'm sharing with you and I'm taking time to do is not a trivial matter. Words count. And you're looking at someone who has said words that I'd like to take back at different points in my life. Had someone maybe brought this to me earlier, they could have spared me some foolishness. Ponder. Both Mary and Joseph going through this, pondered these things. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I apologize to you, and I really mean this, but I can't change it. At his ranch, obviously, there's more time for, you know, someone to say, well, yeah, well, that's great. Oh, wow, I'm glad I heard that, and so on. Or for husband to look at wife, and wife to look at husband, and they each one gets a sort of a sheepish look on their face. We don't have time. We were doing this week after week, we would. I apologize for that. But in Proverbs chapter 4, I'd like you to look at verse 23 with me. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. put away from thee a froward or a evil mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder. You are looking for someone who's been so protected. I was protected before I was saved by God and didn't even know it. I mean, my wife and I met at college at a St. Patrick's Day dance and married July 4th. Okay? Didn't even know each other. Many, many, many years ago. You sit here as a young person. You're pondering your path. Ponder. What kind of a relationship? What kind of a family are you going to have? Are you, for example, and I'm not thinking of anyone here, but we do a lot of counseling here. Do you ever pray with that man or that woman that you're dating? Are you having devotions together? Are you studying the Word of God together? Are you zealous to come and hear God's Word together? Because if not, it won't change when you walk down the aisle. That won't change. Ponder these things. Navigating through the twists and turns of the age in which we live requires a close walk with God and a deep knowledge of the Word of God and a complete reliance on the Holy Spirit. Contemplate. And then, of course, I'm going to go to those my age who are retired or not, and the older ones. Ponder. Now, I don't say there's anything wrong with this, but when I got a postcard from a pastor friend of mine not too long ago, matter of fact, he's pastored and retired from one of the churches that I started, and there they are sitting in their RV in a little trailer park, and I'm making no judgment. Sounds like I am, doesn't it? I guess it's just from where I'm coming from. Well, we're finally out of the pasture, and we've finally got time for ourselves, and all that stuff is good. And we go, and every afternoon we play cards or play backgammon or whatever it is. Blah, blah. That's okay, but I'm only saying this. After a year or two, you need to ponder. You need to ponder about that. Is that what God wants you to do? I really think, I'm sincere about this, and I feel badly about it. I wish I was 27 again when I first got saved, because I felt the same way. Most of my friends were old guys. I wanted to gravitate to those who knew the most, and I thought they were the old guys. And I kind of got kidded about it. What a blessing it was. But I personally believe there are some elders that should be here today, maybe. But they're putting their life in limbo. You have value. You have accumulated knowledge and wisdom from experiences over the years. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm saying this to you. Ponder what you want to do. It may only be a year. It may be 10 years. It may be a month. It may be a week. But ponder. Think. Think. What do you want to do? What matters? Think and ponder. Because every one of us here has value. And you know, this is a neat thing. One of the things that, of course, we get people that come who are broken Christians. And there was a teenage couple, a teenager, not couple, they were sisters, who came from out of state not too long ago. One of them was particular. Have you ever been? I'm not the middle. I was the older of my family. So I was a tyrant. I mean, I was a dictator. I had to babysit all the time. I always felt I had to be a tyrant to do that. But they couldn't wait for mom and dad to come back. But over the years, what I've observed is sometimes the middle one has a tough road. I don't know if there's any middle ones here today. But one of the young ladies that came was one of the middle ones. And over her was Miss Perfect. You know, I mean, leader of the youth group, beautiful, successful, brilliant, Miss Perfect. And she was, pretty much. under her, cutest little thing. Cute. I mean, you just want to see her. You want to hug her. I mean, the cutest little, sweet little young teen. And in the middle, not unattractive, normal thing. Maybe struggles a little bit with some of the studies and whatever. And I mean, I wish you could have been there when we got alone. And she shares some things with me, and I looked her in the eye like I'm looking at Judy. And I said, and this has to be truthful. I mentioned her name. I said, listen, we need you here. You bring something to the table that no one else will ever bring. If you don't bring it to the table, it will forever remain undone. I wish you could have seen her face. I haven't heard from her in over a year. That's a good thing. Okay, but you have to ponder. We have to ponder. And we have to understand what we're dealing with. Going back. Now, I'd like to read verse 21. Speaking of the Lord, Jesus says, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I personally believe that when you come to faith in Christ, that penalty for your sin, it's out. That's why, you know, when the Lord looks at me, do you know who you see? He doesn't see me. He sees the righteousness of Christ. I'm robed in his righteousness. Now, if I use that as license to live any which way I want, then you have every right to question whether regeneration was real. But I also believe that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life through regeneration, that we are saved from our sins. The Bible says, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden. And most would agree that being heavy laden is the burden of sin. You know, I spoke about, I want to qualify something so you don't misunderstand me. I as a sidebar issue, I mentioned suicide last week and how very selfish that is, and I still stand by that. It's totally, totally a self-centered decision. But that does not mean that you don't have compassion for people who have reached such a level of despair, as in, i.e., Robin Williams. There's a balance. Do you understand that? There's a balance. How tragic. But what I wanted to point out is the Bible says that we are saved from our sins. The Lord comes in. There's a battle, of course, but we're saved. But I do want you to know as we say this, men love darkness rather than light. And strange as it may seem, even in our circles, I guess in the name of compassion, we're trying to find a way where we can get everybody to heaven. Somehow, some way, by so diluting the gospel. But I want to tell you something. Sinners would never be happy in heaven. They would never be happy in heaven. And so, if someone's happy in their sins now, and remains happy in their sins, heaven, even if they could go there, would be a very, very unhappy place to be. I guess I could say that if I, you know, you're such a privilege. I am very proud of you as an assembly. Some of my, you know, you've shared with you some of the emotion in dealing with people individually and with families. But you know what my biggest burden is? The churches I work with. They tear me down more than anything. Because of departures from the Word, carnality, infighting, drifting subtly away from the Word of God and something else that is very good, but not the Word. Not the Word. Friends, you've been saved from your sins. And now I am going to close by going to chapter 2. And I, for those of you who are going to stay, and I think some of you would want to, we're going to be talking about government. It has to do with Herod and why Herod could not tolerate Jesus. There's reasons for it. And there are some principles that we need to take from that as we go to the voting booth that are not negotiable. A lot of it is. So if you're staying for the second session, which will run from 11:20 to 12 o'clock, remember I said you can take the guy out of the country, not the country out of the guy, take the 18-year-old out of the army, but you can't take the army out of him. That's just the way it is at his ranch. It's been quite an interesting experience, especially for some. But as we close, we want to close where we began, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, we'll be talking more about him, and the government that he represented. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." The word worship, different words, but basically it's a word, it's a compound word, proskuneo. Pros means to or towards. And kuon means it has the idea of a dog crouching at his master's feet. And actually, as a canine, it does. It has an application. It has the idea of a dog. And the point of fact is this. This tells us how they came to worship. In awe. On a light note. Any of you here have dogs? Raise your hand if you have dogs. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. We're animal people. My dear wife, she's been working so hard taking care of your pastor's animals these past 3 weeks. And by the way, she deserves accolades. I mean it. Your pastor, she's doing it. I mean that sincerely. I mean, she does it with, when they come back, they're going to look at their chicken coops and say, "Wow, let's go for another 3 weeks." Because they look like, you know, sanitized. They look like a hospital room. We are animal people, and she's takes care of the animals. But you know, if you've had a dog's something special. And have you ever had it where a dog has done something wrong? Somebody rolling their eyes back, and they know it. And they know that they really got you upset. They know they really, and they come and they, what do? They get on their feet and they flop down in front of you. And they look up with these eyes. Friends, that describes the worship that we should have for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that touching? Deity. Creator. If he could stop breathing, we would not exist. Worship. Well, I'm going to change tunes when we start later as we go to verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Welcome to our generation. I will draw from my experiences of the 1960s, referring to the defeat of the 1860s, and bringing it up to how we as Christians should live with regards to government and the watching world. In all of it, however, it's comforting for me to know that the Bible says, if you've been born again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This dear black couple that I'm trying to work with, and I shared this last week, but I see there's new faces here. I may end up going to Chicago, and if I go there, I might not come back. I know that. But why should I have any less compassion for Chicago than for the deepest, darkest Africa? I can't figure that out. One of the things we work them through is, in church, they got a book. Read the book. And I guarantee you that when you finish reading, Jesus will grab your hand and literally he'll be physically walking with you. I said, I got something better. What, Brother Don? Christ in you. He's in me. What's more intimate than that? And what should be a greater motivation for me, getting back to where we started last week, to live out, and it hurts. I am such a wimp. I hate to say no to Don. I really do. Unless last week, I was counseling to someone from Tennessee, and I said, you know, I was really discouraged today. And it was like, how could that possibly happen? You know, does that? Yeah, I was. I don't know why. Part of it probably is the weight. And Bible teachers hear the weight of bringing the Word of God, the weight of wanting to communicate it. That's an awesome responsibility. And you want to thank God that you have a pastor who shares that burden. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, please take this to heart, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, and what is that perfect will of God. Isn't that great? Don't you want to be in the perfect will of God? Let's close. Father, there I did it again, Lord, like last week, 5 minutes over. I'll give them 5 minutes longer. But we love your word. And Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice who's, you know, willing to be honest and say, I really want to have a deeper walk with God. I want to make sure that I navigate more with what your will is and not mine. I pray that you'll deal with them and enlighten the eyes of their understanding. And help us, Father, not to see Christian living as some gigantic revival meeting, but rather as a day by day living out our faith before the watching world. And God, there may be someone here today who's just lost. Oh God, show them that by faith in Christ and what He's done, they can have sins forgiven, eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.